We thought about Scrat chasing acorns, and we'll have a look. We've got some acorns coming up in just a moment as one of our images. And we'll just wait and see that one coming up. So we've got some acorns there. We've also got the horse chestnut up in the top corner up there, the conker. And we've got some beech mast just below there from the beech trees. We've got the sweet chestnuts and the pine cone. And one more, and I was going to bring an example of this one. If we could just go on one more slide, please. I was going to bring an example of this, but the rhythm of life or the cycle of life has gone on in my garden so much that there's no more hazelnuts on the tree. There's catkins are starting to grow already for next year. I hadn't planted a hazel in the garden, but it's probably been one of the most fruitful things in the garden, despite all my efforts at growing vegetables and various other things. But the hazelnuts that grow, and the hazelnuts led me to find a reflection from somebody who lived a long, long, long time ago. If we can go on to the next slide, please. If any of you have visited Norwich, there's a statue here to Mother Julian of Norwich. And you might think, Mother Julian, that doesn't quite work well. But she was a lady who was a hermit. Does anybody know what a hermit is? What a hermit is or a hermit does? A hermit sort of lives in isolation, on their own. And she lived in a little place just next to St. Julian's Church. But she also wrote lots. And one of her writings is one of the oldest pieces of writings that's been kept, recorded and kept by a woman in the history of our country. And you can go and see it in one of the museums. But she was a very strong Christian lady, very faithful lady. And one of the things that she wrote about was having a time when she held a hazelnut in her hand, a small hazelnut. And she looked at it and saw how small and delicate it was. But it made her think of three things. If we go on to the next slide, please. It made her think God made it, God knows it, God loves it. This little hazelnut. Do you remember the readings we read where God knows about the sparrows and the hairs on our head and how he provides the clothing for the grass of the fields? In the Jewish faith, in Judaism, they believe there's an angel that looks after every single blade of grass. But Mother Julian thought of that hazelnut. God made it, God knows it, God loves it. And if we extend that on just a little bit further, onto the next slide, please, we can think, actually, God made you. God knows you, and God loves you. And you can think of that for people that you meet, whether it's in school, or at work, or in your street, your neighbours, your friends, your family. God made you, God knows you, God loves you. And then perhaps the most heartwarming thing of all, to think of the God who's created our world and everything that we have and has given so much to us. Thank you very much. God made me. God knows me. And God loves me. And we can take away this great assurance that Jesus died on the cross for us because God loves us so much. He died on the cross that we might live, that we might know God's love. And so at this time of harvest, as we say thank you for the gifts that have been brought and the gifts that we can share and the gifts that we have, we also say thank you that God loves us so much. God made me. God knows me. God loves me. And through Jesus Christ, he's provided a way that I might become part of his family for all eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. So how might we respond to that as we come to this time of harvest? How do we respond to that wonderful gift? Thank you. If we go on to the next slide, please, and we'll work our way through. Our response might be something along the lines of that we have hope because God loves us and God provides for us. The next one, please, is that we can accept God's free gift of salvation because Jesus has paid the price and accepts us into his family if we go through him. He will give us forgiveness for all of those things that we've done wrong. So we can have hope. We can accept God's free gift that's there for us. We can reflect, please, which is the next one. We can reflect God's love to others. Somebody once said it's about scooping handfuls of heaven and sharing them with people around us. Just reflecting some of God's love. The next one, please, is that we can volunteer our lives to him. We can live for him. Remember what we're chasing after? It's not about having the acorns in our eyes or the football club or anything else. It's about keeping God in our eyes and reflecting his love in our world and living for him. We volunteer our lives to him. He's not demanding that or making us do that, but we should want to do that. The next one is we can encourage one another. Through fellowship, through prayer, through support, we can encourage one another to grow in our faith. And in taking that faith, the next one, please, is we take a step and we step out in faith and we be confident that we may have faith that's smaller than a mustard seed, but God loves us and knows us. And God will help us. How much more loved are we than the sparrows and the grass? God really loves us, and we can show and step out in faith and serve him in response. And the final thing is that we can trust. We can trust in God for everything. The rhythm of life, the rhythm of harvest, rhythms in our lives that begin to reflect something of God's love for us. And if we take the first letters of all those key words there, if we go on to the next slide and possibly the next, it spells harvest. If we hope and accept and reflect and volunteer and encourage and take that step of faith and we trust in God for everything, then we're serving him in lives that reflect the love and the care and the goodness that he shows to us without fail, day in and day out. And as we go away from our service this morning, perhaps just take something away with you, maybe a reflection on a word or a phrase from the readings we had earlier. Perhaps thinking of something that you can do in your rhythm of life, daily life, that draws you closer to God. And perhaps even maybe if you're walking to school or walking locally or just looking in your garden or an open space, just look at something. Look at one of the last blackberries. Look at a leaf that's changing colour. Look at a sparrow that lands. And think God made it, God knows it, and God loves it. But then also think, God made me, God knows me, and God loves me. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Even if we just bring that into our daily rhythm of life, to know that God made me, God knows me, and God loves me. What a wonderful promise and assurance we have from a wonderful God. Shall we close in prayer? Dear God, thank you for your wonderful provision for us, for provision of to share and to eat, for the provision of hope and of eternal life in glory with you through the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in your response, in response to your wonderful love and care, help us to do all the good that we can by all the means that we have in all the ways that we can, in all the places that we can, at all the times that we can, to all the people we can, as long as ever we can. Because God made me, God knows me, God loves me. Amen.